Okay, well, Kufar, Akbar, everybody, hello. This is another edition of Radio Free Kafiristan. This is a radio program that is dedicated to rightly dividing the differences between Islam and Christianity in order to arrive at the truth that leads us to the sun. Thus go I. Greetings, blessings. I don't have my notes. The reason why I'm kind of stumbling through this is because I don't have my notes up in front of me right now. I normally have it right in front of me, and then, you know, it's kind of a crutch, more or less. Let me do this. Hold on. I know it's amateur hour once again. I know. Doggone. I hate doing this. Okay. So. We are here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are live casting in three separate places, actually four separate places, five separate places, for Pete's sake. We are on StreamYard. We are on Facebook, on the Radio Free Kafiristan Facebook page, the Cross and the Crescent Facebook page, and then we are on the Cross and Crescent YouTube page, and, of course, we are broadcasting in the Blog Talk Radio studio with Global Patriot Radio Network. And I am again joined by that panel of, and we just had somebody else show up. And you know what? We have Dr. Radical Moderate here. We have our friend and Islamic apologist Chris Claus, and we have our Islamic apologist and superstar Adam Seeker. And then I just see that this young man, Issa Kabir, just popped in. And if I'm not mistaken, Issa, it's your birthday today. Is that right? How old are you, like 17?
Totally correct.
Well, I hope you're old enough to drink. Well, not that you would go drink, mind you, but he's a college student. Cut him some slack, for Pete's sake.
Well, I just want to say happy birthday, and just to remind you that the sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. That's my standard birthday wish to anyone over the age of 18 now.
Wow. Okay.
Radical. He started to sing the song, I am 16, going on to 17.
I don't think he's that young, but I know he is a young. He's a bright young man, and we appreciate him coming on the show and spending his evenings and afternoons with us. Okay, so today, what are we doing today? Today we are taking the Quran challenge. I had received an email last week from our friend Deli that comes to the Sunday show quite a bit. And, you know, she sent me another email today. I should have responded and told her to come tonight. That would have been interesting. But she sent me this email and told me, you have to watch this because this describes exactly how the world perceives Muslims and the biases that exist with it. Well, number one, it was in German, and it had subtitles. And reading it with the subtitles, you know, you can keep up doing that, but it didn't make for great entertainment on Sunday. So what I did today is I went out and I found the English, or actually yesterday, the English version of this Hamajama. So I'm going to let it play here at the beginning of the show. It's 4 minutes and 47 seconds long. And just listen to some of the passages. I want to kind of poison the well here, if you will. But listen to some of the passages that this guy cites in order to lead people into this Quranic trap. Because what he's doing is he's telling these people, I'm going to be reading out of the Quran. And people go, yeah, that just you watch and enjoy. Okay, here we go.
Old biblical texts have any place in Western society today. Punish you for your sins seven times over. You will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. If two men are fighting, and one comes to rescue her husband from his assailant, shall cut off her hand. Look, here's my virgin daughter. I'll bring them out to you and use them and do them with every wish. But as for this man, do no such outrageous thing. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. If someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father or mother, then all the men of his town are to send him to death. What are your initial thoughts after hearing those?
Well, obviously not very aggressive. He's obviously very aggressive.
But it's obviously a bit numb, I guess.
Like, those are pretty harsh. There's no denying that.
Well, I have my daughter versus husband. The thinking of women that getting our country.
Obviously, everyone thinks they're so hostile and so violent.
Stoning human beings is not how we want to live in our society, but it's reminded me of the Testament.
A lot of the Bible passages are similar. I don't know about the cutting off of the hands of the woman's hands who's trying to help, but I know they're similar passages.
Yeah, it sounds familiar to
the Bible. Well, to be honest, I do hear things in the Bible that discuss a little bit.
Even in the Bible, you know, Jesus outlines how to not buy and sell slaves.
Said about elements of the Bible in context of that, and it probably seemed pretty harsh.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more different, like in terms of the cutting hands thing. You know, they don't talk about it in terms of that much, you know.
Like, the Bible has kind of tried to put equal levels in for our own certain roles. I think in the Bible is less vulgar.
Do you feel like there's still a place in Western society for these old texts? Do you think that maybe we should move on from them?
That's a deep question. There's something to learn from, but we shouldn't be using them in, like, law or even guidelines, like cutting people's hands off or dragging my son down. I can't even use that as a guideline.
Especially these days, no. All it does is pretty much divide people unnecessarily. And I have nothing against people believing what they want in their own homes.
I think that everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Religion definitely has a place. No one has the authority to say that religion has to pass and we should all adapt to more scientific based thinking. Even myself, I'm an agnostic. I believe people should practice what they believe.
There can be a place for religious texts, but I don't think that people should take things so literally.
It would be nice to kind of adapt to kind of like ancient ideas. Things have changed radically in terms of like history and culture and things like that.
I do have a little surprise for you. All these heartwarming passages that I read to you today. Actually, in the Bible, are actually the Bible. People, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, yeah. I didn't know that it was from the Bible, but I know there's similar things. The Bible is not far from a good book.
They're actually from the Bible.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not surprised at all, actually.
That there are good and bad parts of the whole thing. Religion, especially.
But at the same time, this is
the media's that's their business, scare ants off people.
Now this part right here, this is in Toronto. What did you people do? This guy's back here standing on his hands in public. This is an adult.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing,
you know,
up
the
there?
Places, yeah, you know the places that you know in the cities in the United States, like certain places in California, places in Chicago where there's a little bit of craziness happening.
That was enlightening. They're talking so seriously, and he wants to be taken seriously. He's got a guy standing behind him, walking around on his hands.
I'm surprised you didn't hear gunshots.
Well, it'd be an American. That'd be Chirac.
Downtown Chicago crowd, man. Now you come to the southwest, south, or even southeast side. Forget about that. I won't even go to the southeast side. Do not go there. Anyway, so getting back to this video, other than the wackiness, I got to tell you, the response. I mean, we can get into the text itself, obviously, but I just want to go over some general impressions by a couple people. The one woman. Says like halfway through, you know, it really. song was talking about cutting the hand off the woman, okay, mm-hmm. if she grabs or kicks a dude in the gonads, you know what I mean, defending her husband.
Right.
And I think there was a couple other verses. Oh, women remain silent and stuff like that. So, you know, it really just shows you what they think of women. And then she says later on, you know, well, the Bible, you know, makes the you know women equal. Equal in what way? Equal under the Lord, you know what I mean? Equal in the judgment as well as the saving grace of the Lord? Absolutely, okay? And there are certain blessings that are given to women that are not given to men. For instance, women can bear children, okay? Now, I'm glad they have that blessing. Thank you very much. I wouldn't want that. That's just kind of like...
There's actually a PG-13 joke that accompanies that, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna tell.
Hey, this is the new and improved radical moderate, who's only half as radical as he is moderate.
Right.
So you have that women are the bearers of life, but then you also have, if you look at the Bible, that it was women. Who saw the Christ risen from the
right.
dead. Okay? Now, here's the thing. There's a flip of this. Remember, it was the woman in Genesis because she wanted shoes and equal pay and all that kind of stuff. Okay? She decided to listen to the serpent turning everything upside down. Okay? Thanks, Mom. I'm just saying. Okay? That's why we men have to work all the days of our life, toil through thick sickles and tits and bops. Anyway, point being is this. Something opposite, okay, reaction, where here, you because also you have in that passage in Genesis, where her seed, her child, will crush the head of the serpent. And then you have, okay, the first announcement of Christ is to women, okay, and the first resurrection is to women. And I love the passages where the women come up to Peter, I believe, and a couple others on the way, I forget. But they're like, you crazy women, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Total disbelief, because it's women telling them, but here they are blessed with this. So I just think that's kind of an interesting thing to point out there. But it's not an equal, I don't know. My point being is attacking this point first. Is that it just demonstrates that these people that they were asking these questions to are totally biblically and socially illiterate, that they do not understand that men and women have different roles, different blessings, different benefits, different exaltations from each other, is what I wanted to point out. Did you guys catch the other guy? He said Jesus outlines how to buy and sell slaves.
I didn't understand what he said. Is that what he said? Jesus outlines how to buy and sell slaves. He does. Where does he? I've never heard this before.
And anybody? And any Christian know how to do it? Because Muhammad definitely does it.
Well, what it is when you ask a bunch of Canadians anything about the Bible within the last 2 years, you're going to get a lot of social justice warrior answers instead of actual answers. Because as everybody here knows, I'm not sure if everybody that'll be listening knows. Here in Ontario, Canada, where Toronto is I can literally be charged with Islamophobia. But a Muslim cannot be charged with Christianophobia. So in Canada, Muslims are a protected community. This is why you'll see on almost all of these recordings and videos that you get of these people in Toronto, they're just completely illiterate to what the Bible actually says, because none of them are actually, well, there's a few that are up there, but I would say the majority, 90% of people in Toronto aren't religious at all. So it's basically, the guy was out there asking a bunch of atheists and agnostic questions about the Bible that they've never heard before. So yeah, they're going to sound bad, but when you take it into context, like, and I'm just going to talk about the one, because he was talking about the guy sending his daughters out to save this man's life. Well, that actually comes from Genesis 19 or 18, one of the two, where Lot was going to send his daughters out, and he had the angels in the house that he was trying to protect. Now, we all know, and Lot knows as well, that nothing was going to happen with his daughters because of those men being there and them being protected by God. So Lot come up with the solution to say, here, these guys are madly into sex and everything else like this. So if I offer my daughters, they may just leave these guys alone type thing. But it wasn't like he was actually going to say, hey, yeah, here's my daughters. Just go do whatever you want with them. Close the door. And then just, like, let them have at his daughters. That's not actually what was happening. And if you actually would have read the whole, if he would have actually put it in context, which he doesn't want to, because then it takes away of the shock factor, I guess you would say. He would have known that in the first place. And to do that, like, I don't know. But, yeah, that's just my two cents. Oh, again, just before I do end with my two cents, when he was talking about how women are supposed to not be teaching in church, basically, I agree with him. I agree that a woman should not be a spiritual leader of the church.
Amen. Amen.
That is my view, and that is the way that God has set it up. Women can teach, 1,000%. I just do not believe that they can be the spiritual leaders of the congregation. And that's what the Bible actually says. And I have no problem with it. There's many women that don't have a problem with it either. Like, there's certain things like, and as you said, Red, there's certain things in the Bible that are addressed to women. And they do get a lot of the different blessings. And sometimes you think that they're better blessings than what we get, right? But there's certain things that women are to do, and there's certain things that we are to do. The women are supposed to not be spiritual leaders, but we are to lay down our life for our wife and our family.
Yep.
They don't have that same command, right?
Well, that's actually a difference in Islam. Bringing that point up, what do you have the commandments in the New Testament? We're to love our wives as we love our own bodies, because nobody ever hates their own body unless you're mentally ill and you're a cutter. You know what I mean? You're a suicide. Okay. Nobody hates their own bodies. Okay. You're to love, you know, and they're to love us the same way. And they are to, you know, because their body belongs to us now, and our bodies belong to them. And as a matter of fact, it actually says as well that, yeah, when you guys separate, okay, separate only briefly, but come back together so not to be tempted by the devil, okay? But you look at that with Islam, okay? Islam is, no, first. Okay, what you have to do is you have to throw the women in a prison in a room and remove all food and everything else, even clothing. Okay? Second thing you must do, she still disobeys. The first thing you do is to yell at her, okay, chastise her. Then you're to lock her up in a room without food, water, clothing, whatever, starve her out, okay? And then, okay, you're to beat her. And it doesn't say lightly, ladies. Does not say lightly, you are to beat her. Now, with all due fairness to Islam, I will say this, that they don't want to strike the woman in the face because, you know, that might, you know, cause notice. And besides, why would you want to mess up a pretty face? I'm just saying.
But if you think about it, Rad, there's a really small area that they have to be able to hit for somebody to be able to see it inside. Because those Muslim women don't have very big...
No, that's true. But remember, Islam is not a monolith, okay? So not all the Islamic ladies wear the burqa. You know what? I got to tell this funny story real quick. I wish, okay, I wish I would have taken this at this ISNA conference at Rosemont, Illinois. I'm walking up to it, and I wish I would have taken it. It was three women walking, one in a abaya, the one in the middle was just a hijabi, and the other was in a short black, go out in the town, black sheer nightgown, full form fitting, everything. And definitely in certain areas, she was, the dress should have been bigger in certain areas, is what I'm saying. But they were walking hand in hand. I don't know if there were three sisters. I don't know what the deal was. But I wish I would have taken that picture because in that area, Islam is not a monolith on that. And to be honest with you, you see a burqa-fried woman, I'm sure she's getting the crap kicked out of her a lot because... to wear something like that, you have to. but there's another thing, another passage I want to get to. What they mention, they mentioned the hand chopping one, right? Where the woman gets into the fight with
yep.
the it's, not the woman,
It's Deuteronomy 25. Let me read it to you. This is Deuteronomy 25, verses 11 and 12. If two men get into a hand-to-hand fight and the wife of one of them gets involved to help her husband against his attacker, and she reaches out her hand and grabs his private parts, then you must cut off her hand. Do not pity her.
Right, yeah, so that sounds kind of harsh, but when you put things into context, you know, not really so much, okay? First of all, this is in the time when, well, yeah, it wasn't today. It wasn't yesterday. It was like about 3,000 years ago. Life was extremely harsh and extremely brutal. The main function and main purpose, actually, of men and women were to reproduce offspring because that's what was needed. Okay, this is an undeniable fact. Okay, especially when it says to tame the land. You're not. I mean, seriously, the Bible says be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so this is a very serious thing. If you rob another man, okay, of his reproducing faculties, if you will. Not only that, but think about this, okay? If two brothers, you know, they each marry separate women, okay? And one of the brothers dies, okay, before he can produce offspring, he is to marry, okay, have sex and reproduce, procreate for this sole purpose. Mm-hmm. Okay, a male offspring in this man's name. Okay, so that his family branch can continue. Okay, so now then, can you read that verse again? I just want to read it again.
Sure. If two men get into a hand-to-hand fight and the wife of one of them gets involved to help her husband against his attacker, and she reaches out her hand and grabs his private parts, then you must cut off her hand. Do not pity her.
Okay. So. And I'm sure we can find Mishnah, and I'm sure we can find Talmud.
Well, there's a couple things that deal with this, because I did look this up today, because I was like, well, that doesn't sound right. There's got to be several things that have to be addressed in this, in its context, not only in the context in which it's written, but it's also what you had mentioned before, the cultural context in which it is applied. And when we look at this, he's not looking at the previous verse where the women are elevated to a certain stature where they should not be doing this to begin with. That is not their role in society, is to participate in a fight. They're not supposed to be doing this. The second thing is that if she does this, then she's taking on the role of a man, and she's basically telling God that God does not know what the role of women is supposed to be. The second thing, that was part of the first thing, sorry. The second thing is that eunuch, because if you do this and you grab a hold of, you know what we're talking about, this is not made for kids, but, and you yank it off, or you cause the man to become infertile, let's just put it that way, that's the same as being a eunuch, and eunuchs were not allowed into the temple worship. That's the whole point there. Eunuchs were not allowed to go into the temple and worship. So by doing something like this, what she is basically doing is she's showing her absolute detestment for this individual, that she doesn't want this, she wants this person to be considered as an equal as a foreigner. So she's relegating this person to foreigner status because this person is not allowed to go in the temple now. And there's a couple more things.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Well,
hey, Steve. Good to see you.
That's what I was going to say. It's a fate worse than death to do this. Now, another thing, okay, so it says in hand-to-hand combat, I'm sure if we look at the Hebrew, okay, it would basically be the wording of basically two brothers fighting, okay, or you know, not even physical brothers, okay, but, you know, two friends, whatever, there's a fight, it breaks out, they had a little too much drink, you know what I mean? She comes out there and she just snatches the dude and yanks him off. You know what I mean? That's uncalled for. Or even if the dude was to kick the dude in the, you know, in the area. You know, that's kind of dirty fighting. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay? So either way, all this stuff was uncalled for. Now, I will point this out as well. This would not apply to if these were Philistines, okay, coming and attacking the village and attacking the home. This is a Philistine or a home invader, okay? This verse would not apply. I am positive on that because guess what? Then all the rules go out the window because now you're fighting for your life and for your people, your tribe, okay? But again, the word hand-to-hand combat, again, the hand-to-hand, the combat sounds a little harsh, but I want to say the hand-to-hand, there's no swords, you know, there's no blades, you know what I mean? The wording, the phraseology does not mean that this is an invasion, this is a conquering army, or this is a thief, okay, or a robber sort of situation. It implies more of a fraternal relationship where they're just being idiots and they're out there fighting, and all of a sudden, we don't want the woman coming out there and ripping out the dude's nads, you know, because that just would not be good.
One of the things that I think a lot of us are missing, or what we're missing here, is why would people think that this would be from the Quran in the first place? Why would people make that assumption that this was these passages would be from the Quran? And the reason is they're completely consistent with what we see today. Do we see Christians today? They cited the one with the stoning of the insolent, disobedient son, where they're carrying out capital punishment on somebody's son who's a drunkard. What does it say? If he's stubborn, rebellious, pays no attention, is a glutton and a drunkard. He's just been completely brought up in a debauch, and he deserves it basically because he's committing all these crimes. Well, they don't provide you any. They're not making a solid application of this. Is the point that I'm trying to make? They're not being consistent, because if you look in Islam today, what do they do to women today? I mean, we don't do this today. We don't take people out today in the West and stone people to death.
Eric?
Yes.
The basic point that I wanted to actually say over here is that we live in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He actually came and He defined the laws for us and made unlawful certain laws of the past because they were for that particular time. And just to bring it to the context of Muslims, even Quran accepts that. If you pull up the verse, chapter number 3, verse number 50, Quran actually acknowledges that Jesus made some laws of the past as unlawful and changed the laws, and that was the time of grace. The problem comes back that these Muslims always go back to the Old Testament, and those laws does not apply at this point in time, even for Christians. And that's what we believe in. So if you want to bring a passage to speak Christian, that passage or that command or that verse should be from the New Testament, not from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Yes, Old Testament is a book of history. Old Testament is a book of God's words in specific, because some words are prophetic words, people and prophets and anointed kings as well. But yes, at the same time, Jesus made some laws additional to what was in the past, like this verse is actually saying as well, that, and I, Jesus, if you read the context from the verse number 34, he is designing the clay bird and everything, and etc., etc., I have come to confirm what was before me of Torah and to make lawful for you some of what was forbidden for you. And I have come to... So basically, he is giving New Testament. He's already giving a New Testament, and Quran acknowledges it. So that's my two cents on this.
Okay.
Go
ahead, Brad. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just want to address it. No, that was absolutely right. Both actually in Jewish Talmudic Mishnah scriptures. There's a guy, by the way, just to let you know, he turned out to be a heretic, but he wrote a great book. It was called The Kosher Pig. No, just recently. It was on Dr. Brown's show a couple years ago. It was kind of a big deal. Sam blew up on him and he completely ruined his ministry. But that's beside the point. But he was a heretic. But no, he actually showed from Jewish rabbinical sources where when the Messiah comes, the faith will be made kosher. Okay, he will restore. In other words, he will abolish the dietary eating laws. Anyway, point being is this. Either way, when we look at these biblical verses that they're taken out of context, time and time again, we can explain the context. We can give an explanation. Okay, based, okay, on just an extra, in the cases that we just brought up, an extra biblical sources about why the woman would be punished or chastised in this point in time for doing what she did to, you know, somebody that was hurting her husband. Okay, the first verse that they brought up, okay, where it talks about, okay, that all these horrible things are going to happen to you, okay? It is going to be poured out upon you seven times. In other words, seven generations, okay? It actually says that women are going to eat their own children, right?
Right.
Okay, as I said. So let's bring that verse up. That's in Leviticus 26, I believe.
Correct, 26 verses. Yeah, it's verse 26, verse 29. It says, you will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters.
Okay, exactly. But I'm going to share my screen with you because I'm just going to give you a brief overview of this stuff. Because I want to go in that the majority of the Bible, it contains its own context. Okay, now don't get me wrong. Okay, you can still go outside and get extra biblical sources on the area, the period, the time, what other people were doing, you know what I'm saying, to paint a broader picture, okay, of what was happening, you know, I don't know, 2000 BC or whatever, okay? But let me share my screen with you real quick here, okay? Where did I do with you? Share screen, probably should have this already set up.
Would have been nice.
You should have put that as a topic. Because I think we're going to spend every time on this topic rather than Quran.
it's a great topic. What am I doing here? Google Chrome tab stream.
I have no idea what you're doing there.
I found it. Okay, so I shared it. Can you guys see it?
No. Yes.
Okay. So let's take a look at here. Okay, so it's broken up. I'm using, the net translation. I'm using the net translation. But anyway, so it has benefits of obedience. This is after God lays down the law to Moses, okay, and the people, okay? If you walk in my statutes and sure to obey my commandments, I will give you rains in their time so that the land will give its yield and trees of the field will produce their fruit. Threshing season will extend you until the season for harvesting grapes. And the season for harvesting grapes will extend until the sowing season. In other words, there will be a constant supply of food. You're not going to go hungry. You will eat your bread until you are satisfied, and you will live securely in your land. No threat of invasion. I will grant peace in the land so that you will lie down to sleep without anyone terrifying you. No thieves. No criminality. Okay, I will remove harmful animals. Okay, yeah, you're not going to have to worry about the lion or the tiger or whatever, the bear running into your family, into your home, you know, out in the middle of the wilderness and get eaten. Okay, all right, from land. And no sword of wars. You're not going to be going to war with people who will pass through your land. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. Okay, that's a good thing. Five of you will pursue 100, and 100 you will pursue 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. I will turn to you, make you fruitful, multiply you, and maintain my covenant with you. You will still be eating stored produce from the previous year, and will have to clean out what is stored from the previous year to make room for the new. It goes on with that. But the section, the verse that they quote, they don't see this blessing. They don't understand this context. This context, if you obey me, if you obey God, you as a people, and do these things, okay, everything will be granted to you, okay? You will be living in paradise. And then it goes on. If, however, you do not obey me and keep all of these commandments, and this is another thing, all these commandments can't do it, right? That's why we need the grace of Christ. But continuing on. So Christ fulfills that in us. Okay, he fulfills all these commandments in us. If you reject my statutes and abhor my regulations so that you do not keep all of my commandments and you break my covenant, I, for my part, will do this to you. God himself is saying, I will do this to you. I will inflict horror on you, consumption and fever, which diminishes eyesight and drains away the vitality of life. You will sow your seed in vain because your enemies will eat it. I will set my face against you. You will be struck down before your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee. You will flee when there is no one pursuing you. In other words, you're always going to be haunted. Always going to be like a criminal. And then he continues, and then it's still this. country's already done this, and you still continue in this way. Okay? You do not obey me. I will discipline you 7 times more on account of your sins. I will break your strong pride and make your sky like iron and your land like bronze. Your strength will be used up in vain. Your land will be your land will not give its yield, and the trees of the land will not produce their fruit. If you walk in hostility against me, in other words, and even at that, you still continue. If you walk in hostility against me and are not willing to obey me, I will increase your infliction 7 times according to your sins. Anyway, it kind of continues on to that until we get to the part about women eating their children. And what happens in history twice, 3 times, multiple times around the world? What happens when an army lays siege for a long period of time on a city, specifically Jerusalem in this context? What happens? What do you read in Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah? What do you read in Josephus when he talks about the siege of Jerusalem? Women were fighting over their placenta. Women, okay, were actually fighting over of their dead children to cook them that were born stillborn. Women were actually killing their children to eat their children. Do you see what I'm saying? This is all prophecy that is to be fulfilled. It is not, as D.L. says, prescriptive. Okay? It is descriptive of the things to come. But the point I really want to make, and you can stop sharing this, stop sharing that screen.
How do I do that?
That's your screen.
I got it.
Okay. All right. So as you can see, the context for that verse is contained, okay, within the passage itself and overall Bible. Now, when we look at this with the Quran, and some of you Muslims, or ex-Muslims, I should say, who have read the Quran more than me and read it in its original language, you can testify to this. You have passages, you have verses that do not belong in the chapter that they are in. They actually belong in other chapters, so I'm told. You have stories mixed in, okay, with each other, okay? You basically have no context. As a matter of fact, I am told by Islamic scholars that one of the miracles of the Quran is that it has no context. It is the eternal word of Allah revealed, and they don't grasp the concept. Allah is always saying this gibberish throughout the Quran, but we want to address that. Anyway, okay, all right, you do not have this context. For instance, take Surah 5, verse 33. Okay, can someone pull that up, or do I have that up?
I can do it. I got it. Let me...
Surah 5, verse 33. It says, to those that create mischief in the land, some have it war or whatever, but the, correct me, Adam and Steve.
Fitna.
We don't know what to call you. Steve, Hussein, whatever. Anyway, what is it? Is the actual literal translation those who create war or those who create mischief in the land?
A sad thing. Corruption in the land, whatever that means.
Exactly.
Allah never described the corruption, because the corruption can be multiple ways.
Exactly. So you have no idea. Remember, people, the Quran is the legal code. The Quran is the constitution, okay, for a Muslim nation. So let's take a look. We'll just read the top one. Indeed, the penalty for those that wage war or corruption, mischief, whatever, against Allah and his messenger, and strive upon the earth to cause corruption, is none that they should be killed or crucified, and that their hands and feet be cut off from opposite sides, or that they be exiled from the land. What's going on here?
Somebody's jamming.
Okay.
I was messed up. Sorry.
That's fine. No problem. We're professionals here. Anyway. That is from the disgrace from this world, and for them to hear out is a great punishment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So
hey,
first
thing, can I just say one thing right now?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Just because you yesterday David Wood did a video about a reporter in Iran, and they accused him of this nebulous crime causing corruption in the land, and they executed him. And so this is real stuff, man. What is the crime? Nobody knows what the crime is, but you do get killed for it. So.
Exactly. Now, question, Steve and Adam. if you scroll down, if you read more of these verses, is there any context that would describe of what this corruption, what this this thing is that is to be punishable in such a horrific way? Okay, is there anything in the Quran that describes what mischief is or corruption is or anything like that? I mean, for a legal code.
I hope there are we have it on video. You know, Adam even sent it to me. It's the video of one of the top shaykhs from the top imams from Al-Azhar University, which is the premier Sunni educational institution in the world, in Egypt. And he said, causing corruption in the land, one of the ways you cause corruption is to be an apostate, is to leave Islam. And so he gave us all those beautiful sentences, crucifixion, amputation, beheading, all of that, he lumped it on us. So, he's been creative with it.
Basically, in other words, what Steve is saying is that nobody knows, and you can pick up the whole Quran, you will not be able to find a one singular perfect answer for this. Every scholar can make an answer for himself the way he wants to, and that's the biggest problem.
Exactly. So that kind of reinforces the point. Again, we can find the context in the Bible itself for some of these harsh things. We can see the fulfillment. And in most of these cases that they're pointing out, especially from the Old Testament, it's descriptive, not prescriptive. Okay, this is something that is not just very descriptive, what they are to do to someone, but very prescriptive. In other words, this is what they are to do to someone. As a matter of fact, if they don't do this to someone for creating the whatever mischief, whatever corruption, whatever this sort of thing is, okay, that is later defined by legal scholars of Islam, I should say. You see the difference on that. Now, if you go and you look up when this verse was revealed or the reason for the revelation of this verse, as Adam, I think you pointed out in one of our previous discussions, that the verse was actually revealed after the incident. It was the justification for that incident. So basically, this is what I call the cattle urine verse, okay? Because if you read the verse, and I don't know if one of you guys want to share this with Eric so he can pull it out, that'd be great. You guys shared it in Skype with the from the Hadith what it was, but it's not necessary if you know. But basically, what you have is some dudes came down from north. They weren't used to the climate. Why they were there, we don't know, but for some reason, they came down from the north. And they weren't used to the Meccan climate, and they got sick. So as a medicine, they were prescribed milk and camel urine. And evidently it made them feel better, because when they recovered, you know, out of gratitude, okay, for being rescued from this horrible thing by being given camel urine and camel milk to drink, they decided to kill the camel shepherd that was guarding the camel herd, drive off all the camels, and make their escape on two camels that they stole. They were later found, and this was the punishment. They had their arms and legs amputated on the opposite side. Okay, they were killed, and then they were, you know, hung up on a cross. Okay, so this is
thrown the ditch,
and then thrown in the ditch. So this is as sahih can get. Okay, this actually describes a thing. Which, by the way, brings me. Oh, Eric, wake up!
No, I was reading Josephus. I was trying to find that passage that you were talking about where they're eating their own children, but I couldn't find it right away. That's okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, so we were talking about control here. We're very professional. We actually have a sponsor. This was his moment to say, "Oh, by the way, speaking of that, we have now a sponsor to play," but he didn't do that. So we actually have a sponsor for the show. It's Camel Milk. Okay. All right. So we're gonna play their commercial. Okay. I'm gonna share my screen here. How do I do that? I forgot.
There's a button down the bottom that says share.
We're total professionals.
It says share screen. You click on that, and then once it pops up on my screen, I'll put it up on the big screen.
So I'm sharing. Can you see it, dude? Can you see it?
I do see. Yeah. Okay. Now these are our new sponsors, and we're excited to have them here. Go ahead.
make it full screen. Make it full screen first.
I'm making it full screen. Shh. Everybody be quiet. Shh.
Okay, we can't hear it.
You did not click the stop sharing. You did not click audio. You have to click the checkbox.
I did. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah, we're 100% professional. This is a top rate of operation.
And this is why I was asking prior to the show if we have some good video editing software so we can edit some of this amateur hour stuff out.
All right. What I do is there it is. Okay. You guys see it now?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. I gotta make it full screen. It is full screen, right?
There we go.
So
okay.
Shh.
Increase the volume. Can't hear.
Turn it up.
Hold on. Okay. Try it now. I think I had my volume down here too low, maybe.
For science to increase energy without those coffee jitters. It all starts with the water. Our camels are mechasaurus, naturally sand-fed, non-GMO, growth hormone, and antibiotic-free, and only drink the best Zamzam water. Scientifically proven to produce the purest milk in Europe. Just like in the days of the prophets. At Camel Milk Corner, we don't use those air-conditioned facilities to cold age filter our urine or make our cola from frozen or free-dry urine like those cheaper knockoff brands. No, Habibi. Instead, we milk our camels in the hot, dry Mecca sun, allowing the urine and milk to mix naturally in the sand. We then use croisonning, the process of allowing the milk and urine to age for 3 days, and then sand filtered for that bold, handcrafted, oh so fetid urine taste. So pick up a six pack of Camel Milk Cola at the local masjid. Camel Milk Cola, the only halal camel piss drink approved by the Islamic scholars of El Azhar University.
They include a desire to run off or steal camels and kill camel shepherds. Do not operate or be near a camel while drinking. Despite the claims made at this commercial, there is no scientific evidence that suggests camel urine increases energy, cures diphtheria, or any other illness. And to the contrary, drinking camel urine, either frozen, freeze-dried concentrate, fresh or fetid, is hazardous to your health. Do not drink even in moderation.
Yeah, that's our sponsor.
Yeah.
All right.
You're hilarious, the wild man.
Yeah. All right, that's
good.
That's
fine. Hey, we get our free supply, you know. With
that's right. We're getting paid in camel piss here. That's what, but yeah, people. Okay, so just to let you know. But that's the whole reason, okay, for the verse being revealed later, is these dudes were given camel piss and milk to drink, and then think about this. Then you feel better, and you're like, thank you, you saved my life with your magical concoction of camel piss and camel milk. I'm going to go kill the dude that gave it to me, and then I'm going to drive off all the camels, and I'm going to make my escape. I mean, I am serious, and they include that in there. Seriously, obviously, something was very wrong. These dudes were either prisoners of war, got captured, going to be sold into slavery, or they realized, dude, this is in the middle of the Arabian Desert. We got to make our escape. Anyway, so, yeah, but buy Camel Milk Cola. Remember, it's the drink of profits. Yeah, that's our sponsor.
And that we're literally reaching the bottom of the barrel to get sponsors, too. So. That was a bad joke.
Oh no! We have not reached the bottom of the barrel yet. We're still digging, dude. We're still digging.
Okay.
So, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on a couple things that we were we were talking about as far as the context of what the passages that were read in that video that we watched at the beginning of the show. But again, I want to look at the overall arching reason why these people actually believed or thought that this would have come from the Quran. In the Quran, do they chop people's hands off for capital crimes or for fitna, causing mischief in the land? And of course, yes, they do. That's 533. We sat there and we read 533 right here. So that you would think that, okay, does this sound like it comes from the Quran? People naturally that would have any type of basic understanding of the Quran are going to think, well, yeah, of course, that sounds exactly what it would come from the Quran. Are they aware of some of the old customs that were practiced by the Israelites 3,400 years ago? No, probably not. But the fact is that people are thinking that this comes from the Quran, because when you start talking about this, offering your daughters, because women are treated basically as property in the Quran, when we start looking at some of it, and this is where we've had people on here. We had Hatun Tash on here one evening, and she was talking about how women were treated in the Quran, and she's citing passage after passage after passage after passage of the abuses and the lack of humanity that they possess. And one of the things that I wanted to point out was here in Reliance of the Traveler, which is the jurisprudence manual for the application of Sharia law for the main schools of Islam. It talks about on page, what page is this, 59, division E4.3, circumcision. Circumcision is obligatory for both men and women. For both men and women. If you're supposed to be a prophet following the line of Abraham, yes, of course, circumcision is following in the it is an obligatory thing to do. It's the seal, God's seal of His covenant with the Israelites. But
you don't do it at 13 years old.
Say that again?
I said you don't do it at 13 years old. You don't do circumcision at 13 years old.
No. Well, no, you shouldn't. But what they're doing here is they're doing it to women. The Bible doesn't prescribe to do this to women. And one of the things that we see, not in every Islamic country, I'm not, you know, don't, you know, I start getting these emails, you're Islamophobic. I'm not saying that this happens in every Islamic country, but where this does happen, it is predominantly an Islamic country where this practice is done. Arjen Hirschi Ali, who was a member of the Dutch parliament, is an apostate from Islam. This was done to her. And the whole purpose behind it is so that women cannot enjoy sexual intercourse. And since they cannot do that, well, then they'd be less likely to have an affair on her husband. And that's the purpose of it. And they'll tell you that's the purpose of it. So when we start talking about doing brutal things to people, to women, that's just one of them. And then we were talking about wife beating. We were talking about, or the equal treatment of women. Let's just start with that one. Marriage. Let's talk about marriage. Can a Muslim woman marry a Christian man? No. Can a Muslima marry a Jewish man? No. Can a Muslima marry a Hindu man? Who can a Muslima marry? A Muslim man. Now, who can a Muslim man marry? Well, according to right here, it says it's unlawful for a Muslim man to marry a Zoroastrian woman, an idol worshiper, and an apostate from Islam. And who was telling me, Adam, I think this you were sharing with this with us on Sunday, when you had converted to Christianity, your wife felt she was compelled to divorce you? I don't want to put you on the spot here, but was that you that said that?
Yes, and it's not just compelled. It's like she cannot have any intimate relationship with me until I come back, and that's how it happened. We were living under the same roof because we had kids, and she was thinking she could bring me back home, but that's the reality of the situation. Like, per law, she was divorced in a way. But like, because we were married for so long, and we had kids, they'd leave me at that point.
Yeah. And when we start saying that, oh, you're just making this up, we're not making it up. I mean, it's right here in this book, and it's also backed up by hadith and Quranic passages that goes along with all of these things. But is it equitable for a woman to only marry one man when a man can marry four women, and that woman does not have to be a Muslim? She can be a Christian. She can be a Jew. She just cannot be an idol worshiper, I guess, and a Zoroastrian. But it's not lawful for a Muslim woman to be married to anyone besides a Muslim. Go ahead.
A Muslim woman cannot even marry unless a kafil wakil signs it, which is usually her father or her elder brother. So, like, she can't even marry without the presence of a wakil. So, like, come on, what are you saying? And then she can't even divorce. Do you know a Muslim man can just say, I divorce you 3 times, mm-hmm. and that's the answer? A Muslim woman cannot even divorce. She can ask for divorce. Ask for divorce. She cannot divorce.
Well, how does she get out of the marriage then? And if he says no?
And there is a fight. There are certain parts of the world where she is just forced to be divorced. The guy doesn't even divorce her so that she would never be able to get married to another husband. But this guy has like another wife now. Because he can have 4 wives, mm-hmm. this poor lady cannot have any other husband until the previous husband divorced. And he won't divorce her, even though that she's not living with her anymore. She has thrown her out of the house. She has gone back to her parents. But she cannot marry because this guy is not even divorcing her. Unless there are some better Islamic countries where by law you can apply for divorce, and maybe in 3 or 4 years or 5 years, the guy has to divorce her. But otherwise, like, she can't even get the divorce.
Okay, so she's just stuck, in other words.
Go ask anyone. That's the situation. That's the reality of the situation.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I just got to get back.
Isa Kabir, yes?
Oh, I was just saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, doctor. I just was adding one element. That's actually the same issue in Jewish law, too. A woman can't get a divorce either. She has to, there's a thing called
Hold
a get. That's the,
okay, if a woman in Israel goes to a judge today and asks for a divorce, can she apply for a divorce?
It depends how religious the Jewish person is. So a lot of Reform and Reconstructionist Jews won't take that position. But like an Orthodox Jew, you have to get a get. So they actually have a group of people that force these men to give divorces. So it is from Jewish tradition, this cultural situation. The thing in Islam is called hulul, which is technically a mutual divorce where the woman accepts the divorce of the man. They both mutually agree ultimately, but there's talaq, which is really, really bad, which is I divorce you 3 times, and then you have to go to another man. You have to marry another man in order to
Where does that come? What is that? Do you guys even know where that comes from? Why that is? You know that you have to.
No. Wait. Hold on. We haven't explained the problem. You stole my thunder, Isa. But no. Seriously, Isa. No. The Jewish kid. No, this does come from a Jewish tradition that they got to get the get. But the opposite, okay, I mean the extreme part of this opposite part with Islam, okay, is that they can just sit there and say, the male can just sit there and say, I divorce you 3 times and they're divorced. And if they do this, I mean, think about this. You know what, how many times, you're a married man, those that have been married, how many times did you argue with your wife and it came out, I'm going to divorce you? You know what I mean? Okay, in the early days, whatever, and fights, you know, these words are said. But in Islam, if they say it, okay, then they are religiously divorced. And if the person is religious, that is a bad thing. Okay?
Okay.
Now then, if he says it 3 times, okay, in other words, if he says it 3 times, then you're divorced, but if he keeps doing it, then you got to get remarried, it's a whole big thing. But if he does it a 3rd time, where he divorces the wife, okay, all right, then for some bizarre reason, which I nobody's explained this to me except that, you know, no Muslim has explained this to me except that this is the seriousness of the situation. She has to go and sleep with another man. Now, here's the funny thing. This is a cottage industry. I am not making this up. This is legal in all Islamic countries. Dudes that are just going to go sleep with their wife, you know, for a night. Okay? As a matter of fact, it was actually made legal 100% in Indonesia, I believe. Or maybe it was Malaysia. I forget which one.
In Iran, it's legal in Saudia, it's legal in Malaysia, and we have Facebook halala marriage groups in Pakistan where they publish that I am available for halala. This is my contact number. Come and contact me. This is exact opposite of Deuteronomy chapter number 24, verse number 1-4, where the Mosaic law says that you cannot do that. And if you remarry after the woman has married another husband and then divorces him, you cannot remarry her because then it is abomination. Mm-hmm. Whereas Quran chapter number 2, verse number 230 says that this is the only way that you can remarry with the woman. And if you go into Ahadith, it actually prescribes that this is the punishment. So what is the punishment? Is this a punishment for a guy who actually divorced her? How is this a punishment for the guy? Because the woman is the one who's getting raped right now. So imagine the situation. In Islam, woman is a piece of shit. Literally.
I'm sorry. No, I interrupt. Think about this for a second, though. Give me a minute. No, I understand. It's a punishment for the man because now he's cuckold. It's called cuckold. Okay? He's now, you know, he has to sit there while his wife has sex with another man so he can re-divorce her. I got to tell you, I'm going to say not commitment. Okay? Because he shouldn't have divorced her in the first place. And he should realize that, you know, we're not following this kind of crap. Okay? If he's a stand-up guy and he loves his wife. But there is an actual, I know this. Why? Because of Islam. There is actually a porn genre called cuckold husbands or whatever, where dudes actually pay other dudes to come and sleep with their wives where they are humiliated and watch this. They get off of this. So you now just incentivize a dude that gets off on this perversion that you know that he can do this legally constantly, and there are women that get off on that too. I'm just saying, but you've now just legalized a total, not just legalized it, but made it holy, made it halal, made it beautiful, made it something to be celebrated. This total and complete porn. Perversion, okay? A total and complete fetish, okay? Which evidently, from the statistics, if you go out and Google this, evidently that is a serious porn fetish perversion for certain individuals, okay? My point being is that Islam legalizes within a certain code, within a certain strict standard. Don't get me wrong, they'll say, we have standards in our perversion. We got to make sure the dude says it 3 times that he divorces his wife. And we got to make sure that he does it 3 more times or 2 more times to make it legal. But then they can go out and they can have somebody else have hollow sex with their wife while they watch. You know what I mean? Or not even just watch, but just be told about it afterwards. And for some reason that fuels their perversion and their fetish. You know what I mean?
We even have issues in Pakistan where the halala guy, I forgot the name, but they are called. See, what are they called?
Muhallil.
So Muhallil actually denied to divorce her after one night because he just liked her and he wanted to rape her a couple of more times. So now you had the issue that he is not even divorcing her and he is enjoying her for maybe a month or two before divorcing her because, like, she's the legal wife. She can't even divorce him. So the guy, it is on the mercy of that guy that if, when, and if he will divorce her.
That sound, you know, so, all that sounds like? It sounds like a TV show that we see today, where they would have some guy, I'm not divorcing her. It's incredible that they would try to equate the treatment of women, of Paul writing about the treatment of women, of not letting them teach in the church. But when you go to the Sharia here, and it talks about wife beating, and I was going to go ahead and mention this. This is right here on page 541. It says, if she commits rebellious, he keeps from sleeping, having words with her, he may hit her. You can hit your – I mean, it says right here that you can hit your wife. It says over on the next page, if keeping from her is ineffectual, it is permissible for him to hit her if he believes that hitting her will bring her back to the right path.
Yeah, that's like the Arabic verse of Quran, chapter number 4, verse number 30-something, I forgot. 34. It's the adru wuhunna. They can beat her. There's nothing like beat with a toothbrush or maswak or something. Like that's just crazy 19th century mythology to make the Quran and Islam look better. But I need to go back where Paul said, do not let the woman teach. It was for a specific church, that's how I perceive it, but once again, doesn't matter if it is a generic, but once again, if we look at Islamic ahadiths, the woman should not lead that prayer, because then her bum is on, and it will arouse the men who are behind her. Like, this is how it is described. Like, are you kidding me? Like, if you are praying to God, and the bum of a woman who is leading the prayer will make you arose, like, what are you telling me?
Your heart's not in the right spot. That's exactly what it's telling you.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
In the Arabic, if you look at the word, especially on that verse, 434, because CNN wants to fix things up, to look really nice and clean, you know, so the CNN translations aren't going to show you this, but in the Arabic, it says, it says, وَإِلِّي تَخَافُونَ نَشُوزْهُنَ. That means those from whom you fear disloyalty. It doesn't mean they did anything. It just means you fear that they might do something. Then you talk, and then you don't sleep with other people. And so, those two words, تَخَافُونَ نَشُوزْهُنَ, you fear their disloyalty. That means that you could just have a bad day, and you're concerned. You know, you have this fear. She didn't actually do anything. You can still beat her for that.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm sorry. Let me just interject here real quick, because we have another sponsor coming up, Steve. It's called the Wife-O-Matic 2000. Okay. It will actually prevent any pesky. No, seriously. Any pesky neighbors or law enforcement intervening when a Muslim is practicing Islam on his wife. It's an improvement. It's an improvement of the wife beater 637 or 633, whatever Muhammad died.
Oh, I got it.
But that's our next sponsor. But no, seriously, people. Okay?
Before you move forward, I need to add something over here.
That's a dago dude. You gotta put mustard stains on that, then you make it a hillbilly t-shirt. No, I'm serious, man. That's the ultimate shirt, dude.
Hey,
100%,
hey,
man. Love
hey,
it.
That's not white beater 2.10. I don't see no camel urine and or milk on that shirt yet, sir.
Exactly. You gotta put stains on that, dude. You gotta put stains on that. Get yourself some Tabasco sauce and some pizza, man. I don't know, man. You know,
but I don't have a good camera, but you guys.
Hey, we don't want to see the semen stains. Oh, that's another thing. Our another sponsor.
No, that will not be a sponsor. I promise you.
It's for semen removal. That's another sponsor. I forget the name of it, but it's for semen removal. If only Aisha had this. She would have remembered the senior thing with her mom. On his shoulder, on the other side, the heart replaces on the shoulder.
Dr. Erica.
Okay, back on topic, here we go.
Eric, you're speaking on mute.
I'm sorry, yes. I,
no, So you are sorry.
I was having a coughing fit, and I'm sorry for that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Drink some lemonade.
I'm trying to help our sponsor out, but good night. That's just some too strong of stuff.
No, Eric, you're drinking those imitation brands because I noticed that you're it's not foamy, man. Okay, you don't have that good frothy head on top of that. It's more not, no, Camel Milk Cola it preserves that frothiness. Okay?
Well, I just love the idea that they drink from the Zamzam. That was just like a special touch.
Hey, guys, come on, man. I just like in 5 minutes I opened all the web pages and everything for Quran preservation, and you just didn't even do that. But anyhow, we'll do that later. So, but like this verse in itself has another problem that a Muslim has four wives, right? He has four wives. So if one of his wives he abstained from going to bed with her, it doesn't matter to him. He has the second wife or the third wife or the fourth wife.
All right.
This problem is only for that woman. Even if you don't beat her and just restrain her in her bedroom, that's what the first commandment is.
And this is what I was going to allude to. That was a great segue. Because if you switch over to Division P on page 681, it says a wife's rebelling against her husband, and then it says men are the guardians of women since Allah has been more generous to one than the other.
Right. Quran says by their right.
And because of what they, men, spend from their wealth, so righteous women will be obedient in the absence, watchful, for Allah is watchful. And then it goes down to here. It says Allah will not look at a woman who is ungrateful to her husband. When a man calls his wife to bed, she will not come, and he spends the night angry with her. The angels curse her till morning. It's not lawful for a woman to fast when her husband is present, save by his leave. Whoever leaves her husband's house without permission, the angels curse her until she returns or repents. It is a condition for the permissibility of her going out that she take no measures to enhance her beauty, and that her figure is concealed or altered to a form unlikely to draw looks from men or attract them. Quran 33:33. Remain in your homes and do not display your beauty as women did in the pre-Islamic period of ignorance.
And just to add to this point, that is why women cannot add perfume on their body. That is a hadith as well. And they said that for your husband.
No, they got camel urine perfume, dude. That's our sponsor. Don't mock our next sponsor, dude. It makes the scent. No, never mind. I can't spoil it for you. Go ahead.
Thank you. And anything that makes a sound, for example, big bangles or anklets or something like that, that can make a sound which will make a man turn around and look at her, even though that she is under a full curtain of clothes that you can't even see their eyes properly, still, she cannot wear anything that can create a sound and make a man's neck turn. Like, this is silly. Like, why would a man turn their neck? Like, don't they know? Like, I don't know. Sorry. There you go.
Well, this whole thing of having women shield themselves from men is absolutely absurd, because what this demonstrates is that the men has no responsibility in all of this. The man has
Quran
no.
Says,
sorry, guys.
Quran actually says that so that you cover yourself, so that you will not be molested by men. That's Quran.
Okay, and so who's so it's the response. The man has no responsibility over this, over his actions. So he doesn't have to practice any self-control whatsoever.
Muhammad's self-control was that he went out and he saw a woman who probably would be pretty, and he got old. So he rushed back to his wife, Hafsa, who was doing something on the ladder, and he dragged her into the bedroom and did the ding-dong. And then he went out to his people and he said, oh, whenever you see a woman, that's a Satan. So go to your wife, do the ding-dong, and come back. And that's what he said.
Do the ding dong. Okay, wait a second. Hold on.
Okay,
hold on.
No, it's not a sponsor, Rad. They're not going to be a sponsor. I'm telling you right now.
Hold on a second. In defense, come on, guys. How many times you've been walking down the street you see the chick in the short skirt, and you fall down, you trip, it's an accident. You fall down, and your penis slips inside her. I mean, come on, it's happened, right? It's happened all the time, dude. Right?
I'm drinking some more of this before I comment on that.
It could happen, right? So it's not my fault this happened, that she was wearing the skirt that allowed me to...
She was not wearing a skirt, obviously, but, like, carry on.
Well, I'm just saying, dude. Come on, clearly, it's a woman's fault, no matter what, dude. I mean, seriously, it was an accident. It was a slip. Come on, man.
Just an FYI, when a Muslim is supposed to buy a slave... they can actually move their hands between the thighs of the slave and touch and handle the thighs. They can touch the breasts. They can remove the clothes of the slave when they are buying and selling. It is according to the Sahih Hadiths. They can remove the clothes, but they cannot see the hole between the legs. That's the only thing that they cannot see.
She will.
This is...
Well, they're pure. See, that's the purity. I mean, seriously. I mean, come on, man. You know, that's clearly purity of the Ummah.
You know what it is? It's disgusting, is what it is. And you know, when we start hearing this condescending attitude, when I see videos like this, and they're saying, okay, well, you know, the media portrays Islam in a negative light, and this is why you automatically would assume that these verses were from the Quran instead of your own Bible. For me, when I start looking at that, number one, we don't treat women in the West like that today. Number two, we do not stone people in today. Number three, we don't cut the hands off of. And when you start looking at these videos that ISIS put together to intimidate the masses into following their strict version of the Sharia, or if you look at some of these other cities
accurate
or towns, what's that?
Accurate version of Sharia, not strict.
Okay, well, they're when you start looking at all of these things that are happening across the Islamic world, and then you compare that to what's happening in the West, and you're saying, well, Christianity, and those people in the video were saying, well, Christianity is just as bad. No. No.
I used to think the same.
No, it's not.
I used to think the same.
You did?
I used to think the same, quite frankly. I personally used to think the same. Because when I was a Muslim, and you know, I was a Muslim for a very long time, right? So these scholars who debates and gives you the words from the Bible, they always use the Old Testament. And as a Muslim, me did not even know that this is not, like, the Bible is not just Jesus, right? The Bible is like from the Old Testament to the Zabur to the New Testament. I thought this is all what Christian believes and applies right now. I didn't even know that there is an Old Testament, the older law. There is a New Testament, which has the newer law, and some of the laws were abrogated. So as a basic, simple human being, I did not even knew that.
Thanks, Steve.
That's why I'm agreeing to the fact that I believe the same. Yes, right.
Yeah,
wait, he's holding his hands up. When the police arrived, what happened?
I'm just scared of that punishment of the, so you can see my hand, you know, if they decide to, I'm causing corruption in the land, which they have decided. I've been accused of it. But anyway, guys, I got to go. God bless you guys.
All right, thanks for coming, Steve. God bless you. We'll see you.
I'm still waiting on that pizza, brother. I'm just letting you know, man.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we're going to wind it down anyway. We're down to about 9 minutes left in the show, and we don't even have to go that long. I just wanted to make the topic tonight about – and, Brad, we were actually going to do a compare and contrasting David Koresh with Muhammad based on what was said.
No, that was one of the ideas. I mean, no, we can do that again. Yeah,
that would – and when she said that on Sunday, I was just – you know, I was just taken aback. I mean, really, you're going to compare a Christian sect that had, what, maybe 70, 75 people in it, the Branch Davidians, to to ISIS?
We're murdered by the Clinton.
Janet Reno. I remember watching day and just horrified as that place was burning down, knowing that there was women and children in there. I was just blown away that our country would do that. But nobody... nobody, no Christians, would say that, you know, David Koresh was God incarnate, or he was a Messiah, or anything of the such, and that they're nothing but a loons, is what we would say.
They said that dudes that were there, but go ahead.
But David Koresh was interesting. I don't know if you all know about it, but like
he was a psychopath. Hitler was interesting too then.
Well, he claimed that all the women on the earth belonged to him, and he basically
there's a Muhammad for you right there.
Dude, I claim that too, but it's not reality. You know what I mean? Come on, dude. No, seriously, I got to start a cult. If I did, I want to say this, okay? If I did not have the restraining hand of God on me that we call a conscience, but it is a restraining hand of God on me, I would so be the ultimate. Seriously, I would actually set up a company. Set up a company, okay, to actually have sex with all the women, okay, that are being divorced, okay, blah, blah. Islamic pimping. I don't know. We got to think of that. I would set up a company, honestly,
you are following
the children, to kill the children of people who reverted or left Islam. You know what I mean, Sid? I mean, Islam offers so much economic opportunity to the dark arts. If I did not have the restraining hand of God on me, I'd be like, shit, hell yeah.
Muhammad actually, Quran affirms that, and there are multiple hadiths where Quran actually affirms that, O Muhammad, if any woman wants to give herself to you for the ding-dong, you can accept her or leave.
We gotta teach you more American slang for the ding dong. Although that is kind of funny, but
yeah, I don't want to use the word because it's like nasty word. So anyhow,
sure.
It's PG-13. So they can give her, and there are multiple cases where Aisha is saying that I cannot perceive how a woman can just throw herself to a man for the ding dong, and then she said. There are multiple Sahih hadiths. So this was not even a good thing back then. Yet Quran said to Muhammad, and then Muhammad maybe didn't like some of the women who were giving themselves to Muhammad for the ding-dong, and he didn't want to do that. And then there are other words came up. Oh, you can postpone some, and you can accept some, and like, what does these verses have to do with humans? Everyone else.
Brother, exactly. Islam, I'm sorry, Islam theology and practice and purpose, and this is all due respect for the Muslims that believe that Muhammad is the greatest superhero since all of them combined.
This
you
is what
I mean?
this is one of the things that just that really gets to me, because you know you sit there and you're called every name under the sun, you're threatened all the time with whatever. But yet we still do this, because I can't understand how people would believe these things. They would believe that Muhammad was a prophet despite all these things that we know, and they just explain away, and it's just like, okay, well, you're telling us this, and we don't care what you have to say, Kufar. We know that Muhammad was the best man, regardless of what you have to say, even if you point it out in their hadith. And my heart bleeds for them, because this is leading them straight to hell. Straight to a separation from God for eternity, because they're not accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is why we do these shows.
No.
I think it's supernatural. Yeah, I agree. I think it is a supernatural blindness. I actually do.
I mean, you know, multiple verses where it actually says they're blind to it. No. The verse that, like, one of the verses that Muslims like to bring up that says this is about Muhammad is actually a verse condemning them. Because, no, it says, this is the truth, this prophecy. This prophecy is a prophecy. It's going to be fulfilled, and it was, okay? All right? But this prophecy, this truth, okay, to you, is like we wrote it down in a scroll. We rolled it up. We sealed it up, and we gave it to somebody who can read, okay? And even if they can't read it because it is, to them, okay, it is removed from them. They cannot understand it, okay. And then you have, well, it continues on. This is the one that the Muslims like to quote, okay. you know, the truth or the scroll, the revelation is like something that is written on a scroll given to someone who cannot read. And the dude says, yeah, I can't read it, dude. So why you?
It's Isaiah 29:12, yeah.
Yeah, and they say, well, this is clearly about Muhammad. No, and then if you read the rest of it, it is a complete and total condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying, you know what? Your women are going to eat their children. You know, just the verse that we quoted in Leviticus or other verses that in Isaiah that say the same thing. Okay?
So
your temple is going to be destroyed. Your whole city, your whole life, you are going to be carried on to exile. You are going to be destroyed. And you will not believe me because even if you can read, you can't read the scroll. And you can't read because, well, you're stupid for 30-something or 23 years. I mean, come on. Dude couldn't learn how to read in 23 years? You know what I mean? Okay, anyway.
Adam had something to say. Adam, go ahead, and then we're going to close up the show.
Yeah, basically eating up the flesh of your brother is also in a hadith that the guy came and said something and Muhammad said, don't eat the flesh of your brother. So if you want to take everything as a literal, then so be it. Then Muslims eat the flesh of their brothers every day. They just don't do that physically. So let's let them do that physically. But anyhow, this is how crazy things goes off, that when I actually read the whole things about Muhammad, except like instead of just reading or seeing or hearing the good things about Muhammad, it's just impossible for this guy to be a moral man, let alone a prophet. And that's where I stand. And that's why here I am after dedicated Muslim. That's why I am here.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing that you, I mean, it's just amazing that you are here, to be honest with you. I don't want to take this the wrong way, but I think you're an anomaly. You were able to escape that spiritual blindness, and it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that can happen.
Hallelujah.
Okay, yes. All right. Well, my goodness, Ben Christian just showed up in chat. Thanks for coming. Other people, just to close out here, we had Darcy. She's been here tonight. God bless you, Darcy. I hope your interests are going well. Rational Phobia. That's a cool name. Rational Focus here. Let's see here. Islam Issa Mess. Okay. And then
if
everybody
I'm not
else.
Mistaken, Rational Phobia is a. Is it? Okay, maybe I'm mistaken, but he's bringing up a new kind of a. Try to bring him to the conversation sometime.
Okay.
He's bringing up a new. Correlation of Islam and Christianity, and I have seen some of his, maybe his video or something like that. He thinks Islam and Christians can coexist and all. So probably this guy should come up on the
okay.
mic someday.
All right. Let's see if he responds in chat at all. We had Annie from Southern Central Radio. She was in the Blog Talk studio tonight. And, of course, we got our other listener, Mr. Bill, listening via phone. And then everybody that was on the panel tonight, Issa, Chris, Adam, Steve was here, and of course the Dr. Radical Moderate. Thank you all for coming, and we will see you next Tuesday evening here on Radio Free Kafiristan. And I promise
and
to have
Sundays,
the
also Sundays as well.
Oh yeah.
And I'm the Doctor of Destruction. Okay, that's my new nom de clore.
Okay, well, make sure you sign in with that name.
All right.
So, remind me. All right. God bless everybody. We'll see you Sunday. Don't be late.
Take care.
Whoops. I hit the wrong button. That's okay. Let me end the broadcast.
Yeah,
right.
End live stream now.
I'm ending it right now. Okay. Jeepers Christmas. All right. And then we sign out of the Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you. We'll see y'all soon. Thanks for coming.
Whatever.
Right. There we go.